Hare Krishna. We are so very fortunate to be in this most enchanting setting, the holy place, Kanchipuram. My sincere gratitude to all of the assembled devotees for being present this evening and allowing me the most precious opportunity to try to render some service to all of you. As we have heard again and again from Guru, Sadhu, and Shastras, there is nothing more pleasing to the Lord than one who honestly and sincerely dedicates him or herself to the service of the devotees. In this regard, there was a very simple, illiterate man who lived in Kanchipuram. He was deeply attached to the great Vaishnav, Kanchipurna. He saw in the humility and the simplicity of Kanchipurna a hope for him. He saw in the compassion of Kanchipurna his only hope in life. Could everyone hear? All of the speakers are present. Is there any place where you cannot hear properly? This rear area requires the presence of a speaker. One day, this simple man approached Kanchipurna. That it is well known that you talk to Lord Varadraj and he also speaks to you. Please, can you ask him if there will ever be a time when I will attain his eternal abode? That evening, Kanchipurna was performing his simple service of fanning the deity of Lord Varadraj. While fanning, he asked this simple illiterate Shudra, he wants to know if he will go back to the spiritual world. Varadraj replied, because he is attached to you, I will personally bring him back home, back to Godhead when he gives up this body. In fact, if there is anyone on this earth who is sincerely and honestly attached to you, I will take him back home, back to Godhead. Because one who loves my devotee is most dear to me. On another day, Kanchipurna had a question for Varadraj, but he was very shy to speak it. For a long time he fanned him with a fan dipped in water. He tried to get the question out, but his heart just would not let him ask. But finally, with great effort,
he posed his inquiry. My dear Lord, will I ever go back to Godhead? The Lord,
Hare Krishna.
The Lord responded that I reciprocate with you according to how you approach me. You want to render personal service, so I allow you to fan me. You speak to me, so I speak back to you. But you have not the qualification to go back home, back to Godhead. I cannot bring you back to the spiritual world, because I only bring back to Godhead the servants of the Vaishnavas. One who humbly, menially, and sincerely serves the devotees. On that very day, Kanchipuna put the fan down. And he walked all the way to Sri Rangam, which you'll see how long it takes by bus the day after tomorrow. In Sri Rangam, he disguised himself so that nobody could recognize who he really was. He put on the simple peasant's clothes of a cowherd boy. He went to the home of Mahapurna and took the chore, without asking for any money in return, of simply taking care of Mahapurna's cows and doing simple, odd, menial services around his house for he and his wife. And Mahapurna could not recognize him. Months went by like this. The great Kanchipurna is simply out herding cows and bringing them back and carrying their dung and feeding them grass and cleaning the house and cleaning utensils and cleaning pots. And he was such a helpful, spontaneous, obedient servant that Mahapurna used to call him my boy. He'd say, my boy, please do this. My boy, please do that. He found great, great pleasure in serving a Vaishnava. One day when he was out with the cows in the pastures, a torrential rainstorm came upon them. And the cows were soaking wet, and the cowherd boy was soaking wet. And finally, he made it back late at night, and all his cowherd boy clothes were soaked. So he went into his little quarters where he stayed, and the only dry clothes he had were his sadhu clothes. So late at night, he dressed like sadhu, he put on his tilak, he was chanting japa and his mala. But Mahapurna was thinking, the poor cowherd man, he doesn't have any dry clothes. So unexpectedly, he walked in the room with dry clothes, and who did he see? Kanchipurna. He said, Kanchipurna, this is you. You are worshipable by me. The great Yamunacharya told us, Mahajano Yena Katasa Panta means to follow in your footsteps. And all these months you have been humbly, obediently serving me without telling me who you are? Mahapurna fell at his feet. Kanchipurna fell at his feet. They were both worshipping one another with tears in their eyes. And he said, please, please, go back to Kanchipur and do your seva to Varadraj. Kanchipurna came back to Kanchipuram. And again picked up the fan. And Varadraj told him, you will go back to Godhead.
You have, with an honest heart, with no duplicity, served the Vaishnavas. That is the perfection of life.
On another occasion, Kanchipurna
was fanning Lord Varadraj till very late at night. It became dark. And to go out from the temple was very difficult. There was no light at all.
But there was one simple man named Varada, and he was a torchbearer for the temple. He would lead people in and out of the temple at night with a torch. So Kanchipurna said to Varada, "Please, get up. Where are you? I can't see you. It's late. It's dark. I don't know where you are, but I know you're here. So please, please, light the torch and lead me out of the temple. Otherwise, I cannot find my way." Pitch, dense darkness. He called again and again. But Varada was sleeping. Then suddenly, Varada appeared with a torch in his hand and led Kanchipurnam all the way home. The next day he was again fanning the Lord till late at night, and he called out for Varada to bring the torch. And Varada approached him and fell at his feet and said, "I'm very, very sorry." He said, "Why are you sorry?" He said, "Last night I was so deeply sleeping that I didn't serve you." He said, "What do you mean that you didn't serve me?" He said, "I slept through the whole night. I was told that you needed help and I wasn't there to help you." Kanchipurna said, "But I saw you. You did help me." He said, "No, I was sleeping." Kanchipurna realized that Varadraj took the form of this simple little boy, Varada, and held the torch to bring him out of the temple and illuminate the darkness. He felt very much ashamed to have accepted service from the Lord. Now when Kanchipurna would take prasad, often this simple torchbearer, Varada, would take the plate and eat his remnants. One day, the pujari found the plate that was eaten by Kanchipuram and Varada on Varadraj, the deity's altar, during the Rajbhog offering. The pujari was outraged. "What? This is offensive." He got cow dung and camphor and all sorts of other purifying agents and cleaned the whole altar. And he told Kanchipurna that this is what happened. "How is this possible? The plate that you ate food off, and Varada, the torchbearer, after eating your remnants, is on the altar for the Rajbhog offering of the Lord." But then Varadraj chastised the pujari. He said, "I brought that plate onto the altar because I want to taste the sweet remnants of Kanchipurna and his servants. There's nothing so sweet and delicious to me. Every day I will bring his plate and eat off that." When Kanchipurna heard this, he became very ashamed. And he left Kanchipuram. He went to Sri Rangam and started fanning Ranganath. But Ranganath said to him, "I'm already so cool. There's two rivers surrounding me with breezes. I don't need fan. You should go to Kanchipuram because Varadraj has been born from coming out of fire." He bypassed Kanchipuram and went to Tirupati and rendered service by fanning Sri Venkateshwar.
And Balaji spoke to him. He said, "We're very high on the hill. There's so many winds here. In fact, it's quite cold here. I don't need your fan." But Varadraj, he comes out of fire. He's very hot. You should go back to Kanchipuram and fan him. So finally, Kanchipurna returned to Kanchipuram and resumed her service of every day, discussing intimate topics with Sri Varadraj and fanning him with great humility and love. Mahajano yena gata sapanta. We must follow in the footsteps of these types of great devotees. And during this yatra, we should take this very seriously. We come to the yatra to make advancement, not to make offenses. We make advancement by serving. And please know that service doesn't mean according to your convenience. Service means sacrifice, tolerance, humbling yourself in a difficult situation, to put someone else before yourself, to give pleasure to another Vaishnava. That is what service is about. We have spoken Prabhupada's immortal sentence that a person's greatness has to be estimated by their willingness and their ability to tolerate provoking circumstances. We are not fair-weather devotees. Fair-weather devotees means we will perform our service to Guru, we will perform our service to the devotees and Krishna when it's convenient for me. I love to hear stories about selfless servants like Haridas Thakur or Kolavecha Sridhar or Kanchi Purna. But when it comes to my own life, if it's convenient, if it's comfortable, if it's to my interest, then I am the most humble, obedient servant. But if it means some irritation or inconvenience to me, then I have a different mentality. So during this yatra, we should be in this spirit. I have been told that things have been going on in this yatra that has never happened in our yatras in the past. People are pushing each other, shoving, trying to get in front of them in line. People to board a bus are pulling someone else down to get in front of them. Have we heard anything? Have we come to this yatra for the purpose of going to hell? Or have we come for our purification? Yes, there are inconveniences. And sometimes it's beyond the control of the management or the organization of the yatra. In Tirupati, they told us, 9 o'clock sharp. You be here. If you're late, you won't get in. We were there. But then they didn't let us in till about 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock. Yes? What can we do? Waiting, waiting, waiting. Long lines. Hungry. Buses. We have been told that obstacles are the greatest benedictions because they give us an opportunity to actually show our devotion. It was Balaji that kept us waiting through his servants. In all of our organizations and all our management, we
You know, they did everything they could.
But some things are just beyond our control. So when things are hard, when things are difficult, do we put ourselves in front of somebody else? That means we have not understood what a Vaishnava is. We have not understood what bhakti is. So in this yatra, if we fight for anything, we should be fighting to put other people in front of us. We should be fighting to give people conveniences before us. We shouldn't be judgmental. We shouldn't be critical. If we are, we're not going to make any advancement on this yatra. We've come to see the good in every devotee. And we've come to serve every devotee. Let everyone else be before me. Now sometimes, senior devotees, Prabhupada disciples, they're given special privileges. They don't want special privileges. They are forced upon them. And they humbly accept them as a service to all of us. If someone is forcing a special privilege on you, then you can graciously accept it. But you shouldn't force your sacred privileges upon others. The whole essence of bhakti is servant of the servant of the servant. And how we're serious about it will only be understood when practicing that principle is difficult. When there's an anxiety situation. When there's pressure on us. When our mind is disturbed and distraught. That is the time we can actually show Krishna that I'm the servant of the servant of the servant. Not when it's just so fun and nice and convenient to serve others. Is that clear to everyone? So let us not make this yatra a sham. We want to worship Sham, not Sham. We want to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And what makes the yatras beautiful is every single devotee taking the personal responsibility to behave properly and to speak properly. And that means amanina manadena. To offer all respect to others and expect none in return. And offering respect to other means in words and also in action. It is this type of etiquette that pleases Krishna. Otherwise, we force our way before everyone else to see the Lord, but the Lord does not find any pleasure in seeing you. Better you stand at the end of the line and wait 28 hours, and when the Lord sees you, He's pleased. But if you're trampling on others' heads and pulling other people behind and misusing old people and children and women, yes, you'll see the Lord. But you won't make advancement in that. That's not enthusiasm. That's enthusiasm in the mode of passion. We should be enthusiastic in the spirit that Lord Chaitanya held sacred. Servant of the servant of the servant. Does everyone agree with that principle? It's easy to say Hari Bol. We should say Hari Bol, but we should also live Hari Bol, and we should speak Hari Bol. Hari Bol. So we've come to Vaikuntha, but our behavior has to be Vaikuntha. If devotees are not acting properly, then Vaikuntha is like hell. And if devotees are acting properly, then hell is Vaikuntha. Srila Prabhupada explained, what is the Vaikuntha mentality? Vaikuntha mentality is very simple. Every devotee is better than me. Every other devotee is more important than me. Therefore, I must be the menial servant of every other devotee according to my relationship. So please, let us seriously practice this principle every moment, even in the most ordinary dealings we have with devotees in every situation. Otherwise, it's better to just return to Bombay and do what we do there. But we come to holy places in that spirit of following in the footsteps of the great souls. Ramanujacharya left a wife that was as beautiful as an apsara and took sannyas to further the mission of pure love of God within this world. We described this morning his first two disciples. One was one of the most profound erudite scholars in all the world. His nephew, Dasarathi. And the other was the king of Kura, whose name was Kuresh. Soon thousands and thousands of people were coming around Ramanujacharya, right where we're sitting today. Ramanujacharya was sitting right here giving his discourses, and hundreds, thousands of people were coming to hear him, and their lives were being transformed. There was a great renaissance in pure Vaishnavism here in Kanchipuram. But in the capital of Srirangam, there was a drought. Many great devotees, pure Vaishnavas, but they were lacking an empowered leader. The successor of Sri Jamunachara, Taru Varanga, again approached Mahapurna. He said, we have asked you previously to bring Ramanujacharya here. We need him here desperately. We want him to be our leader. Mahapurna went for that purpose, but due to the way that Ramanujacharya's wife treated him, he had to leave abruptly. But he was feeling very bad in his heart. But then he heard the most auspicious news that Sri Ramanujacharya had become a sannyasi, freed from all the obstacles and limitations of a family life. So he went to Ranganath, the deity of Sri Rangam. And Mahapurna prayed from the core of his heart, please, Sri Ranganath, please, grant me a benediction. Bring Ramanujacharya to preside over all the Vaishnavas in Sri Rangam, the capital of Jamunacharya. Ranganath spoke to him. He said, this is very difficult because Ramanujacharya's heart is completely attached to the service of Varadraj in Kanchipur.
And Varadraj is completely attached to his service. So how to break up that loving relationship? Ranganath said, I have a plan. The son of Jamunacharya, Vararanga, is the sweetest devotional singer. When he sings bhajans, hymns, and beautiful songs, everyone's hearts melt. Could everyone hear? You may think this is an obstacle, but it's pleasing to the Lord. So why should we think it's an obstacle? Hari Bol. See, as soon as we appreciated it, it went away. That is a great science. Ranganath said, send Vararangana to Kanchipur to sing beautiful songs to Varadraj every day, and then Varadraj will give him a benediction. So Mahapurna approached Yamunacharya's son and asked him, please sing for Varadraj and ask for the benediction of sending Ramanujacharya to Sri Rangam. So Vararanga came here, where we are sitting today, to this temple, and he sat before the Murti of Varadraj and sang beautiful, beautiful hymns with so much love and devotion. And he remained here for several months. And finally, Varadraj, so pleased, he said, Vararanga, I will give you any benediction. Ask for whatever you like. He said, we are in great need of Ramanujacharya in Sri Rangam. Kindly send him. So Varadraj, through Kanchipurna, gave the order to Ramanujacharya to leave Kanchipuram and go to Sri Rangam. It was very difficult for Ramanujacharya to leave this place, to leave the daily association of Kanchipurna, his life and soul, and to leave the service of Varadraj. But at the same time, he felt the joy in his heart, because I can do a greater service for my Guru Maharaj there. It is the desire of my God brothers to be there. It was at that time that Ramanujacharya shifted his residence from Kanchipur to Sri Rangam. As soon as he came there, Taru Varunga and the other Vaishnavas installed him as the Acharya of the Sri Sampradaya. In Sri Rangam, Ramanujacharya was thinking about his cousin brother Govinda, just to test how attentively you are listening. Do you remember what happened to Govinda? You remember better than me, thank you. He was worshipping Lord Shiva in Kalahasti, which is not far from Tirupati, Srishaila. Ramanujacharya sent a letter to Sri Shailapurna, his uncle, and asked him to make Govinda a Vaishnav and send him to Sri Rangam. So Sri Shailapurna took this very seriously, and he went to the village where Govinda was living. Every day Govinda would go to a lake
and on the banks of that lake pick flowers for his worship of Lord Shiva.
Shailapurna,
near that lake, was giving katha to his disciples. And every day when Govinda would come, he would hear the katha. And the gentle, devotional qualities of Shailapurna very deeply affected his heart. So each day, just by listening, every day he stayed longer and longer and longer. One day Shailapurna asked, "What are you doing with those flowers?" He said, "I'm offering them to Lord Shiva." He said, "Lord Shiva? He covers his body with ashes. And what are those ashes? The ashes of... He burns the sins of people, and then the ashes of those sins he puts on his body. He doesn't want flowers. Flowers should be offered to Vishnu." He said, "But there's no difference between Shiva and Vishnu." Govinda had replied. So Sri Shailapurna just kept giving Harikatha every day. And little by little, Govinda was listening, 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 and one day he fell at the lotus feet of Sri Shailapurna and said, "I surrender to Vishnu. I want to be your disciple. And I never want to leave you." Shailapurna initiated him. And Govinda lived in Tirupati at the ashram of Shailapurna for many years after that. Ramanujacharya was an extraordinary personality. Here he was, the acharya of the whole sampradaya, guru of most qualified, amazing disciples. But yet, he had several gurus himself. And his pride and joy was to study under them, to ask questions from them, and to render menial service to them. In other words, he had not a trace of false ego. In Sri Rangam, one of his greatest joys is he was reunited with Mahapurna. And he would learn the scriptures from Mahapurna, sit at Mahapurna's feet and ask questions. And Ramanujacharya's disciples were very happy to see him in that position. One day, after completing the study of a very holy scripture, Mahapurna gave an instruction to Ramanujacharya. He said, "There is a great Vaishnava, like no one else. He is a descendant of the Pandya countryside. If you receive the mantra from him, you will achieve great spiritual benefit. You should go to the village of Tirukottiyur, and that is where you will find the great disciple of Yamunacharya, Gostipurna. And by all means, render humble services to him and beg him, pray to him to initiate you into the sacred mantra." Ramanujacharya took his two prominent disciples, Koresh and Dasarathi. They walked all the way from Sri Rangam to Tirukottiyur. He went to the ashram of Gostipurna and said, "Mahapurna has instructed me to come to you, to fall at your feet and beg you to initiate me into holy mantra." Gostipurna thought. He was silent for some time. And then he said, go away from that for now, and I will think about your request. Ramanujacharya felt quite dejected and sad. I'm so unworthy, I'm so unqualified. He came back again. And Gostipuna again told him, "You let me think about it. This mantra is very holy, it is very sacred, it cannot be given to just anyone."
One day there was a big festival in Srirangam, and the Utsav, Vijayamurti, was on a palanquin going through the streets. And Gostipurna came from Tirukottiyur to Srirangam for this festival. And at that time, the deity on the palanquin spoke to the pujari and told him to repeat the message. And the message was, "Gostipurna, do not be afraid to give this mantra to Ramanujacharya. You should initiate him." And Gostipurna had a little debate with the deity. He said, "But this mantra is very sacred. It cannot be touched by the lips of anyone who has even the slightest material desire in their heart. A person has to be very deeply mature in their bhakti to bear the power of this mantra. Ramanujacharya is still very young. I don't think he's ready." And the deity spoke back through the pujari, "You do not understand the purity and the greatness of Ramanuja. You give him this mantra." But even then, Gostipurna refused. Sripad Ramanujacharya with his disciples went on that walk for so many hours to Tirukottiyur. 18 times, and every time refused by Gostipurna. He didn't exactly say no, he just wouldn't give it. "Let me think about it." Finally, Ramanujacharya, in his humility, he was not feeling anything negative toward Gostipurna. He was feeling everything negative about himself. He was thinking, "I am so sinful. My heart is so wicked. I am so unqualified that even though my guru, Mahapurna, has ordered me to take the mantra, I'm not qualified to receive it." Ramanujacharya was beside himself, weeping and crying in anguish over his unfortunate condition. Devotees told Gostipurna, and the next time Ramanuja came, Gostipurna put his arm around him and said, "Son, I will give you the mantra. You are fit. The power of this mantra is only known by Lord Vishnu himself. No one else can understand it in full. No person with the slightest desire for material enjoyment in their heart is worthy of receiving this mantra. Because this mantra has the power of liberating the sins of anyone who chants it and sending them back home to Vaikuntha. That is the power of this mantra. And I have seen that in this entire planet Earth, there is no one else fit to receive this mantra except you, Ramanuja. So I will initiate you, but you must make a vow that you will never repeat this mantra to any other being in your life." Gostipurna then initiated Ramanujacharya in the 8-syllable mantra. As soon as he heard it, Ramanujacharya's entire body illuminated with bliss. Hairs were standing on end. Tears were flowing from his eyes. His limbs were trembling. He was in transcendental ecstasy of love of God, repeating this mantra over and over and over again. Again and again, he offered his obeisances, falling at the feet of his Guru Maharaj in total gratitude. And then taking leave of Guru Maharaj, he began his trip back to Sri Rangam. As he was walking through the town of Tirukottiyur, he saw so many ordinary materialistic people walking around. And Ramanujacharya's heart began to melt with compassion for them. See how they are toiling for materialistic enjoyment. See how they are bereft of the supreme treasure of pure love of God. See how they are condemned to birth after birth after birth in this material world. It is unbearable to my heart. But I have a mantra that will send them back to Vaikuntha. He became very much inspired, and he called out very loudly, "Everyone, everyone, please come to the temple of Lord Vishnu, and I will give you the treasure of the most precious jewels on earth." All kinds of people were very attracted. He's going to give us jewels. Soon there were hundreds of people. And then thousands of people gathered. Yamunacharya embraced his two loving disciples, Dasarathi and Kuresh. Then he climbed to the top of the temple. And all the people were crying out, "Please give us the jewels, give us the jewels." And he called with a very loud, tumultuous voice, "I have the greatest of all jewels. I will give you the treasure by which you will never take birth in this material world again, but you will achieve the eternal service at the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu." Everybody, listen very carefully and very loudly. Repeat after me. Everyone was transfixed in total anticipation. In absolute silence, with eager hearts, they heard Ramanujacharya. And with a voice thundering like lightning, he said, "Repeat this 8-syllable mantra. Om Namo Narayanaya.
Om Namo Narayanaya."
But they chanted very loud. "Om Namo Narayanaya.
Om Namo Narayanaya.
Om Namo Narayanaya.
Om Narayanaya."
Everyone was crying. Everyone was looking around and they saw that they were not in the material world. They were in the spiritual world. Envy was erased from their heart. Lust was erased from their heart. Greed was gone. They were in joy. They were embracing each other with great love. Everyone was in the perfect spirit of servant of the servant of the servant, the Vaikuntha mentality. And they were praising Ramanujacharya and weeping and crying in gratitude, offering obeisances after obeisances at his lotus feet for giving them the most precious jewel. Before returning to Sri Rangam, Ramanujacharya with his two disciples decided to once again offer their obeisances to his Guru Maharaj, Gostipurna.
all the details of what happened had already reached the ears of Gostipurna. He was as angry as a flaming fire. Ramanujacharya came in with Dasarathi and Kuresh. Sripad Ramanujacharya fell at the feet of his Gurudev, right in the front of his prime disciples. And Gostipurna just looked at him and screamed with harsh words, "Get out of my sight! I never, ever, ever want to see your wicked, dishonest face again. You are the lowest, most sinful person. You promised me never to repeat this mantra to anyone. And then you gave it to thousands of people. You are dishonest. You are a liar. You have broken our relationship. Get out from here. I cannot tolerate your face. For the offense you have committed, you will have to spend birth after birth after birth in hell. Get out from here. How would you like your guru to say that to you? In front of your disciples. Ramanujacharya was completely peaceful. With folded palms and tears in his eyes, he spoke. He said, "Guru Maharaj, I beg forgiveness from you." He said, "But you told me that anyone who hears and chants this mantra will be liberated from material life and attain Vaikuntha. And I saw all these poor, unfortunate, fallen souls suffering in this world. And I could not restrain myself from giving them this mantra so that they could all enjoy shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Narayan and Vaikuntha. And if all these thousands of people go back home, back to Godhead, and serve Lord Narayan with pure devotion, then what is the loss if one insignificant, unimportant person like me has to live forever in hell? Will not Lord Narayan be more pleased with thousands of people going back to Godhead? Let me go to hell. I will be happy to do so. But that let them have Krishna consciousness." When he said that with all sincerity, Gostipurna transformed. His anger disappeared like the passing of a violent storm. Suddenly he began to cry. He embraced Ramanujacharya. He said, "I have never in my life, I have never met a man who was more compassionate, more loving, and more pure in heart than you." Gostipurna said to Ramanujacharya, "Today I accept you as my spiritual master. You are my guru and I am your disciple because you are teaching me what it really means to please the Lord. Such selfless service. Willing to go to hell forever for the upliftment of others with a sincere and honest heart. I beg forgiveness that I spoke harshly to you." And Ramanujacharya fell at the feet of his Guru Maharaj. He said, "No, Gurudev, no." He said, "Whatever power is coming from that mantra to deliver all those people is only because I have received it from your lotus lips. I am your servant, birth after birth after birth. Allow me to always be your eternal menial servant." This was the loving relationship between Gostipurna and Sripad Ramanujacharya. Should I continue? One day Kuresh ask Sripad Ramanujacharya, can you explain to me the inner meaning of the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita, the most monumental, illustrious verse, Sarva Dharman Purityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Braja Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshayishami Masucha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. One who understands properly this verse understands Bhagavad Gita as it is. One time Srila Prabhupada was speaking to one very, very famous religious teacher. His name was Yogi Bhajan. He was teaching the Sikh Dharma all over the world and had many, many, many disciples. And there is a tape of this conversation. He approached Prabhupada with great respect, and Prabhupada treated him with great respect. But Prabhupada was honest. He said, did not Guru Nanak accept Bhagavad Gita? He said, yes, Guru Nanak accepted Bhagavad Gita. And what does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? Sarva dharman purityajya mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishami masucha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. Me means Krishna. Guru Nanak surrendered to Krishna. So you are teaching all this Ashtanga Yoga and all this Kriya Yoga and all of these things. Why don't you teach your followers what Guru Nanak taught? To surrender to Krishna. That is Bhagavad Gita. So this verse is very important. On this day, Quraysh asked Ramanujan, please explain to me the inner meaning of this verse. Ramanujacharya replied, you cannot understand this verse simply by hearing. You have to qualify your heart by total humility and service to understand this verse. There's no other way. It is not through one's intellectual prowess or one's high position in society. It is by total humility, service attitude that you can understand this verse. Therefore, for 1 year, you should do Madhukari and beg door to door. Now please know that Quraysh was like a king. He was a wealthy aristocrat. Quraysh said, my fear is within a year I may die. So please make it less. So Ramanujacharya said, all right, for 1 month, you beg door to door, and you will only eat what people give you as a beggar. Quraysh, as well as his wife, Andal, they took this very seriously. And they put on simple clothes and went out for 1 month and just begged and accepted whatever little would come. And after that, Ramanujacharya understood the purity of his heart and explained to him the essence of the verse, Sarva Dharman Purityajya. Seeing this, his disciple Dasarathi approached Ramanujacharya and said, please tell me the inner meaning of Sarva Dharman Purityajya. Ramanujacharya said, because you are my nephew, my relative, it's difficult for me to properly chastise you and properly evaluate your strengths and weaknesses because you are like my son. He said, better you go to Gostipurna in Tirukottiyur and he will explain the inner meaning of this verse. Dasarathi went to Tirukottiyur. And he approached Gostipurna, requested him to explain this verse. Gostipurna said, "You are a great learned scholar, such a powerful scholar. When you speak, people are thrilled by every word you say. But you should know that knowledge, learning, wealth, aristocracy, all of these opulences cause pride to form in your heart. If you're proud, then real devotion does not grow. What is the use of knowledge if it creates pride rather than devotion? However, a virtuous person, the more he or she learns, the more it awakens good qualities in them. Therefore, you should render menial service." Dasarathi remained with Gostipurna for 6 months, rendering menial service. And finally, Gostipurna told him, "I am satisfied with your menial service. Now you go back to Ramanujacharya and ask him to explain the inner meaning of this verse from Bhagavad Gita." Dasarathi returned to Kanchipuram and he explained everything to his Guru Maharaj, Ramanujam. "He has sent me and told me that you will explain this verse to me."